Pardon my oversight. We failed to pray for some of the church concerns, and there was something handed to me just before I came on the last time. So before I read the passage, the New Testament passage of today, can we bow our heads and pray for some of the concerns listed in the bulletin as well as in the new one handed to me as well? Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray for the families and the individuals from the Chestnut Ridge Church who all have a decision to make over where they will attend church in the future. Lord, just lead them and guide them. May they ask you for guidance and you show them the way where they will be used and glorify you. I pray for the clients and the counselors, the whole staff at the New Destiny. Destiny Treatment Program. Lord, now that we've met several of them, they're very personal to us. And I pray you give the counselors your spirit of knowledge and wisdom, and that they would understand in their innermost parts what each individual needs in counseling. I pray for the nightly Bible studies that go on, that your Holy Spirit would be active in softening hearts and removing veils from the eyes of those who don't know you yet. I pray for all the support staff, and most of all, I pray for the people that are clients. Lord, do a work in their hearts and release them from their addictions in Jesus' name. We want to pray, too, for the Congolese refugee community that lives and works. Lord, you alone know their needs, and so we commit them to you, Lord, that you would meet all of their needs, and if it happens in the future to involve us, Lord, we will help in any way we can. Lord, I was handed a note that one of Kirk's boys has been admitted to the hospital, and Lord Jesus, we pray for that little boy just now, that you would touch him and bring him wholeness. And I pray for Kirk and Janae that you would give them absolute perfect peace during these moments. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Yeah. For the New Testament reading, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 34.
Listen, Mark 26.
Oh, I misheard you then. All right, thank you. And he was saying, in this manner the kingdom of God is like a man who would cast a seed on the earth, and he would sleep and would rise at night and day, and while he does not understand how the seed would sprout and would grow tall, the earth bears fruit of itself, first the stem, then a spike of grain, then full of wheat in a spike. When the fruit might be ripe, he immediately sends the sickle because the harvest is at hand. And he was saying, how then would we liken the kingdom of God, or with whom should we stand in this parable? It is like a mustard seed, which when it would be sown in the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. And when it is sown and comes up, it becomes greater than all vegetables and makes very large branches, so that even the birds of the sky are able to dwell under the shade. He was speaking the word to them in many parables such as these, as far as they were able to understand. And he was not speaking to them without a parable, but privately he was explaining everything to his own disciples. And at this time, the children can make their way forward. It's going to be a children's meeting. And it looks like this side is the best place to come.
Thanks, Melissa. All right, yeah, kids can come on up here in this pew. Oh, Ava, you're the first one here. All right, so Tim is queuing up a video here. Did you guys hear what read the kingdom of God is like? What did she just say the kingdom of God is like? A seed, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you guys want to scoot down a little bit, scrunch over, Caden? There you go. Good. So we have a video that's kind of basically a video of what Melissa just read. So let's take a peek and see what it looks like. All right, see the seed there? This is not actual time. It's set up a little bit. So there goes the root. It's going down. You can see how fast it's actually here. So on the bottom left it says day 4. So this is what it looks like after 5 days. And this is what it looks like after 6 days. And then 7 days. So it's not until the 7th day that anything actually comes out of the dirt. So on the left side is kind of you can see the underneath the roots and the stem, and on the right side is just the focus on the stem. So we're 10 days, 11. It's kind of hard to see on the screen. If you guys look on the left, you can see how the roots keep getting bigger and bigger and more spread out. All right, you can pause it there, Tim. If anyone wants to look on YouTube, just Google that, you know, plant or seed germination, that will come up, but it keeps going for 30 days. But you can see there, I mean, look, the roots are going down about as far as the plant is going up. So you guys ever, maybe in science class at school or anything, have you ever seen anything like that? Have you watched it before? It's pretty amazing to think, like, you plant that seed and you see the root going down, and if the roots are growing and growing, and it's not until like a week later, the 7th day, that you actually see a seed coming up, or a sapling coming up. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It says that when you put a seed in the ground, it starts to grow, and you can't really control it. The seed's in the ground, it just happens automatically. That's what he says. It happens while the farmer is sleeping. And so when you look at this, this is what Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom is like, this is what our lives are like. And so just think about this, that one, it's kind of cool, like I know, you know, you guys drive around here in the fields, and you think like every shoot of corn that's growing has that much root down underneath it. And so there's so much happening that we can't see. And that's what it's like in our lives too. There's so much happening that people around us can't see. There might be things happening in your side, in your life, if you're growing and doing, experiencing different things, but no one can tell the difference. But also, there are people around you that might be going through something that you can't see. And it could be a great thing, that God might be doing an incredible thing in people's lives, but oftentimes we don't see it until later on. And so that's how God works. He works like this. That seeds are planted, and they grow, and sometimes we don't see it, and then sometimes it just bursts forth and we can see all of it. So just remember that when you interact with your friends and when you interact with your brothers and sisters, maybe sometimes something more is happening that you can't see. And so just keep that in mind, that God is working with people and God is working with you, even though you can't see it. All right, thanks for coming forward, and we'll keep talking about this growing stuff during the sermon. Thanks, Tim.
There's a lot of cool videos like that on the internet. If you have some spare time, you want to look around, it's incredible. And just think, like I told the kids, like every stalk of corn you see growing right now this time of year, that's happening underneath the soil. And that's happening for us as well. So these two little parables Jesus tells, they're very short for his parables. They don't have a long, complex storyline. They don't have a lot of characters. But he gives these two little kind of short parables, short metaphors, and he's trying to explain to his followers what the kingdom of God is like. And he gives these two metaphors that both come from the organic area of growing, one from kind of a field growth and one from a tree growth. And so we want to look at that. And as looking at the text, I enjoy learning through comparing and contrasting. I think there's a lot we can learn from kind of holding two things in tension. And so looking at this, I think there's three things that kind of come out that Jesus is holding in tension in front of us that we can learn from. That we can learn something from the kingdom, we can learn something about ourselves. So we'll look at those three things. So the first tension that comes out in these parables, these short little parables that Melissa read for us, the first tension that comes out is that the kingdom of God is at once both very knowable and easy to comprehend, and at the same breath, it's mysterious. Both of these parables are pretty simple. They're things that we understand, they're things that we see around us. The idea of planting a seed and putting it in the ground and roots going down and the plant going up. You know, pretty much all of us have some grasp of that in one way or another. Although, I guess I should pause a little bit with that because I had supper with Tim Yoder here, and he said that he asked his students at Wadsworth where milk comes from, and they said, the store. So, maybe not everybody understands how, that's the inner city of Wadsworth where they live so far from agriculture around them. So maybe not everybody knows this, but it's quite simple. That, the idea of putting a seed in the ground and it grows and it bears fruit, and that fruit then turns into seed, or it is seed, and that falls to the ground, and the cycle continues. That's the life cycle. That's what happens. And whether that sometimes that fruit is harvested and gets consumed. Right? We just explained the occupation of some of you here in one sentence. That's what you've done your whole life. You plant, you harvest. You plant, you harvest. It's a very, very much an oversimplification, I understand. But when we look at that, we see, like, this is what Jesus is talking about. This is how the kingdom grows. It's very knowable. It's very understandable. It makes sense because it's such a good metaphor. But yet, we know that there's complexities to it. All you farmers in the room know that there's complexities to it. And I'm not talking about the complexities of modern industrial farming. I'm talking about just the simple complexities of how seed growth happens. There's so many different variables that we know, like the soil has a huge impact on the growth. And Jesus had just spent a long time teaching about that right before this, about good soil and rocky soil on the path. So we know that has a big impact. We know there's the weather. Has an incredible impact on how something grows. That YouTube video was obviously a very controlled environment where the seed had optimum sunlight and water in a controlled environment where it would grow in a consistent way. But in real agriculture, in real growing, there's always the questions. Will there be enough rain? Will there be too much rain? Will there be some sort of weather event that will ruin the yield of the crops? Will there be high winds at the wrong time? Could there be a fire? That's not something we deal with here, but it's a very real concern for many farmers around the world. Or will there be something besides the weather that hurts the crops? Will there be a blight? Will there be a disease? Will crazy kids and four-wheelers go running through your field? There's all these variables that can happen that make the growth of a plant really out of our control. And I think that's part of what Jesus is getting at here, that the kingdom of God is understandable. He says even the young children, the least of these, who understand the kingdom, who understand me, are part of the kingdom. They don't have to be scholars. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. It's not that complex. You can be a part of the kingdom regardless of your intellectual capacities or how old you are. But in the same breath, there's this mystery to it, that it's out of our control. There's things that we can't manipulate the process of how the kingdom grows, of how the kingdom is fertilized and seeded and bears fruit. That God is at work, and that makes it out of our control, just like the many aspects of growing crops are out of our control. And that brings a mystery to how the kingdom grows, because we have to trust God to do it. We can't just do all the work ourselves. It's not our kingdom, it's God's kingdom. So we look at this parable and we see it is both a very simple and think a very understandable thing that we can all wrap our minds around. But at the same time, there's these layers of complexity where God is mysteriously in control of the whole process that we can't all wrap our minds around it. And that's God. We can know Him, but we'll never fully understand Him completely because He is so much beyond us. So the first contrast I see here in this, in these short parables, is the tension between being known, what's knowable, and what's mysterious. The second tension we see coming up is the tension between work and rest. Work and rest. We see at the beginning of the first parable, this farmer goes out and scatters the seed, and then he rests. He says, whether the farmer sleeps day or night, the seed still grows up on its own automatically out of the soil. And the farmer is resting. All he did was scatter the seed. And so we see this idea of rest, which is built into the DNA of God's kingdom. We talked about this last week about the holy day of, you know, the idea that being a part of God's kingdom, rest is involved. It's not all about our work. It's not all about how much we can do, how much we can get accomplished, you know, what are the goals that we can check off the list to make God's kingdom happen. It's not all about us. And many times, the most crucial thing that we can do to see the kingdom happen is to stop and to rest in God's presence and let God do the work. Now, work, again, it's attention, is very important. We see in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, a book which is all, you know, King Solomon writing about all the different things that are meaningless and all these things, you know, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, but at the end, it's all meaningless. But he has this one little summary statement he puts in there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. He says, so I saw, so he starts with so. So, I mean, he's just had this big expose on all those times and seasons, but ultimately it's all meaningless. And he says, so I saw there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. Who can bring them to see what will happen after them? So work is very important. We have, you know, God isn't calling us to just rest and just to be a lazy people. But I think the message that we need to hear is that there's an appropriate time for rest. There's a time to rest after the seed is scattered. Then we set back and let God do His work. We must rest. And so there must be a time when we arrive at a spot in our labors where we rest from them, where we stop from them. Now, this could be applicable to your daily, you know, daily grind or whatever it is that you do to earn an income. So there is a time where you need to stop from that. You can't be working 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We know that's not healthy. Rest is important for all of us. But it can also be talking about, you know, the calling that we have beyond what we're getting paid for. Like the farmer scattering the seed, it could be with us in the church work, or it could be with something you're doing outside the church that you really feel called to. There's a time, even in these things that we feel called, that are very important for us to do, that we want to see accomplished in our lives, sometimes the most important thing we do is stop and rest and let God bring the growth. So regardless of whether we're talking about daily work to earning a paycheck or this greater calling that you see in your life, you must arrive at some point when the work stops and you rest. What this parable is showing us is that the kingdom of God is not in our control. And it grows while we are resting. And again, that circles back to part of the first point. There's a mystery. You know, we have modern science, and so we can come to a little bit better conclusion about exactly how seeds germinate and how that all happens. But that doesn't discredit the parable. The idea is we aren't doing that. It's being done on its own, or as Jesus is saying, if this is God at work. There's a point where we must stop, and God must take over. But even further tension in this parable, I think there's a paradox hidden in this. The paradox is the amount of work that has to be done. Now, I'm not trying to confuse us here. Rest and work, rest and work. There's a tension there that we all have to live in, that Jesus was trying to bring forth to us. But the idea is that growth happens, when this growth is happening, when we've rested and we see things start to grow, not as a result of our hard work, then we need to start working. Here's what I'm trying to explain. So how many of you in the last month have worked harder in either your yard or your garden or your landscaping or your fields compared to, say, January? Right? So that would be everybody in the room. Like, it just, the last month in Ohio, things have been growing. I mean, it seems like this year has been even, more growth than usual. Maybe some of you can double check that on that they're actually farming. But I mean, things have just been going crazy in the last couple of weeks. And even though, landscaping may be a minimal thing, if you don't see to it, your house will be overrun in a second. Whereas January, none of us probably put any time into our yards or our landscaping or our fields or our gardens, because that was a time of year when there wasn't any growth happening. And now we're in a season where there's growth happening all around us, and it's just a matter of trying to control what's happening. And I want to bring that home to here at Crown Hill. As I mentioned before, the elders are going around, and myself, and we're listening to hopefully all of you. We want to get around to all of you. And we've heard a number of things, and one thing that's been repeated a couple times is kind of that we'd like to see the church grow. We wish the church was growing. And if you look at the last 10 years, like average attendance, it's kind of, not a steep drop-off, but we're a little bit less every year. And some people have brought that up. So we wish we could grow. We'd like to see the church grow. And that's good. That's great. I mean, I'm glad people are saying that. I don't want to hear people say, I'd like to see the church shrink. I want us to not exist, right? If we heard that as elders, we'd be like, okay, so say more. Why do you want that? So that's a good impulse that we have. But as I look at this parable, and especially think about how much work it takes to manage a growing garden that's going crazy, are we ready for the amount of work that it would take if the church were to take off? Are we ready for that? We say we want to see the church grow. But just think to ourselves, would we have the time to mentor and disciple new believers if they were coming to us or we were going to them? Would we have the time to genuinely get to know people, even if they weren't new believers, but if they moved into the area? And would we have the time and our schedules and energy to really get to know people? Because that's what we need to do if we want growth to happen, or growth was happening beyond our control. If we wanted that to happen, we'd have to have the time. Would we be willing to open our homes to people? Would we be willing to go to other people's homes? Would we be willing to give up the things that we enjoy doing right now to invest into other people? Because if the growth that we want to see starts to happen, if it starts to look like June around here and things are like, whoa, things take off, God can do that. Would we be ready for it? Or maybe we need to be ready for that, and then God can bring it. I'm not promising anything. Again, this is the mission of the kingdom. I don't know the future of Crown Hill, what the growth patterns will look like. But I know there's that desire among us that people want to see Crown Hill grow, and that's a good, healthy desire. And so I want us to check that and say, that's nice to want, but are we ready for that? Are we ready to sacrifice some of the things that would have to happen to be in a congregation that's growing like that? Because if growth happens, there probably won't be a bunch of well-polished people that look like us, that grew up Mennonite. It's not going to be 50 people that grew up over in Pennsylvania that have all the Mennonite stuff down, and they're just going to plop in and say, Crown Hill's now our church. That'd be fun, right? That's probably not what growth would look like. So growth happens when we rest. It's not us that do the growth, that do the work. But yet, when growth happens, it takes a lot of work. And all of you know that much more than me, because you've invested a lot more time into your landscaping and gardens than I have. Lastly, there's a third contrast that happens. So Jesus moves on talking about the seed, and then he talks about the seed in a little bit different way. He talks about the mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it grows to be into this tree. Now, it's interesting. Melissa's translation said the largest of all vegetables. Some translations say the largest of all garden plants. And what Jesus says is like, it's so big that birds can rest in its branches. Now that's not necessarily, in my books, like the definition of a big tree, right? So let me translate this to North America a little bit so we can have a better understanding of it. So if you remember the Old Testament reading that Melissa read, she was talking about this cedar tree, the tree that God would take a sprig off the top and replant. And then the grand trees will be made low, the green trees will dry up, and then a new tree will come forth. That ties into what Jesus is talking here, this mustard seed that will grow. So we in our human capacity, Jesus is trying to tell us, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And for us humans, When we think of kingdoms, we think of things like cedar trees. So just let me give you an example from me personally. One of the best places, my favorite places I enjoy visiting is the Northwest, the Northwest of our continent, or the United States, kind of Northern California, Oregon, British Columbia, Washington. It's a beautiful place. If you've never visited, you have a chance, and I highly recommend it. But one of my favorite things about that area is the trees. The trees are amazing. They're huge. They have this majestic coastal redwoods. You have giant cedars and hemlocks. Like, the trees out there are just incredible. Now, when I think of, like, grand trees that are full of majesty, that's where my mind goes, the Northwest coast. Because those trees are beyond compare on this globe. Similar in the Old Testament, we hear these stories of cedars of Lebanon. These are kind of these majestic trees that are known as, you know, these are the trees, if you're going to build a temple, you build them out of these trees. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And a mustard seed becomes the grandest of all garden plants. And for me, this reminds me more of my grandma. And my grandma loved birds. And so she lived in an old farmhouse that was built in the 1800s. And there was a bank in front of her farmhouse, this hill. And what she did is she planted a whole bunch of junipers and yews, Y-E-W. You guys know those trees are kind of like the little pine shrub trees that have a little red berry on them. So they're kind of like, these trees are designed to be shrubs, garden plants that you maintain, and they kind of, you need to shape them and make them look how you want. That's not what my grandma had in mind. She loved birds. And so she planted a whole hillside of these things and never touched them. And so when I was growing up, running around in the farm, these trees were like 15, 20 feet high, and it was like this little juniper yew jungle. You could barely walk through it. And there was hundreds of birds that made their home in there. That's more of what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, this is what my kingdom will look like. It's going to look like these plants that really max out at like 15 or 20 feet. But they grow, and they spread, and they provide shade to birds. And in this, Jesus gives us a picture of the kingdom. He says, my kingdom doesn't look grand and majestic like the kingdom of this world. It won't be made up of beautiful temples and beautiful buildings and all these ornate things, although we as humans tend to build those over and over again. Jesus says, no, that's not a true reflection of my kingdom. My kingdom looks more like a shrub. The best of all shrubs, but yet a shrub that grows and spreads and fills in the back alleys and nooks and crannies and places that are unkept, and it grows there. And he says, that's what my kingdom looks like. So in these pictures, Jesus is trying to make clear the kingdom of God. The kingdom that we are all a part of. This is who we are. This is our identity. It's simple to comprehend, yet there's this mystery that is beyond ourselves, because God is the king of this kingdom and God is beyond ourselves, so we can't ever fully comprehend it. It is based on our ability to rest and let things go out of our hands and say, I'm not in control. But yet when the time comes, we have to be ready to work, because God has chosen us to be his ambassadors in this kingdom. He's chosen us to do the work. There's the mystery. We have to rest and let go, but yet he's chosen us to be his hands and feet here in this world. And we need to let go of our pictures of grandeur and majesty. The kingdom doesn't look like palaces and polished marble and grand redwoods and cedars. It looks more like a shrub that spreads and can grow anywhere. And that's what we're a part of. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for you, our King. And as we are all a part of your kingdom, as we are your children, as we are part of what you're doing here on earth, may we be able to grasp the simplicity that even little children can be a part of this and understand it. But also learn to plumb the depths of your wisdom and what your picture and your dream is for us here on earth and for the future of eternity. So Lord, we are glad to read these parables, to look around us and see the growth that is happening. And Lord, may you prepare us for what you have in store for us here at Crown Hill. We pray this in Jesus' name.